This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with an audio version of a message that was first published back in May of the year 1999. It's being put on audio today in the year of February of the year 2024. So we're talking about 25 years ago. Now, the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because sometimes while I'm reading through the message, I might make reference to something, some individuals or some incidents or places or things that occurred back at that time, which may or may not be relevant today. In any case, if there is something there, I will try to make note of it and let you know what the circumstances were behind that. However, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and 6,000 years from now, if the world lasts that long, God's word is always relevant, and those that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and adjust their lives accordingly. Now, having said that, let's get into the message. Our subject scripture is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians. Actually, it's not a book, it's a letter that the apostle wrote to the apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses number 14 through 16. And as I said, this is for the month of May in the year 1999. Now, if you have a Bible available and you have the scriptures available, you're going to find these words recorded. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Now take heed to this part. "But we have the mind of Christ." The title for this subject is Through His Eyes. Through his eyes. While talking to a young lady one day, I forget what it was we were talking about, but I made the statement that I have to look at things the way that God looks at them. She proceeded to tell me that I am not God. This young lady, in looking at things through her own way of thinking, was making an intelligent point. She was under the mistaken notion that I, with all my faults and imperfect actions, was implying that I was putting myself in the place of God or being just like God. And thank God I am not. But that is not what I was saying. What I was saying is that in every situation that I see, I have to make the choice of looking at it through my own intellect and understanding, or look at it the way that God Himself looks at it. There is a big difference. You see, what I was actually telling her is that seeing things the way she or any other unsaved person or a carnally minded Christian sees them would usually cause me to act in a way that is not pleasing to God. We talk about the right way and the wrong way to respond to different situations that we face in life. These are the standards that the world has set. And what criteria did they use to set them? Their own understanding of how things work and how people act and why. But in each of these things, they are missing one thing. And that is what separates the Christian, the true Christian, from everyone else. Because we use a different set of standards and criteria to go by. We use God's. Look at what the subject scriptures, look at them real close, or listen to them real close, and what do you see? In the first verse you see, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, in other words, the flesh, the carnally minded, the ungodly, can't understand the things that God says are right, because they, the natural man, are relying on their own intelligence that is worldly and without any recognition of God. And because of this, what God says is right seems utterly stupid to them. They can't figure out how it is going to work. They sit down and look at the situation and they say, "It's not going to work. How can it? My own mind, my calculator, and my computer says it's not feasible." The problem is that the solutions are spiritually discerned and therefore are far above the realm of human thinking. If we look at Isaiah chapter number 55, verses 8 and 9, you'll find these words recorded. This is God speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." All of us just about are taught, usually in public school, to believe that We are the only entities that control our lives. We are taught there is no God. Therefore, all solutions to our problems are in our own power. If we don't do it, it can't be done. This is what is known as the man is his own God image. Anything that doesn't fit into this way of thinking is moot. The next verse shows how those that are spiritually minded judge all things spiritually or as God sees them. When they do this, they are moving in the will of God. Instead of seeing, say for instance, a drug addict, a prostitute, or a homosexual, or a drunkard as being evil, they see them as being in bondage to the devil through the sin nature that is in all of us. Talking about, this is what the spiritually minded people, when they see these individuals, what they're actually realizing, what their problem really is. They sometimes see themselves in these individuals and realize that Jesus died for them, the ungodly, just like he did for them, talking about the saved. In other words, as me being a Christian, being saved and things, when I look at people that are bound up by sin and being bound by the devil, instead of judging them and saying that the person is evil and wicked and so forth, I realize the actual cause of their problem is not that they're evil, but that the devil has complete control of them. And I can remember when I used to be in that same position. That makes a big difference in how you deal with individuals of that sort. Now, someone disrespects them or abuses them, instead of retaliating, they see the real enemy and respond by praying for them or doing good to them. This is what I'm talking about. Someone sees or disrespects a Christian, or somebody sees, if I'm speaking about something and somebody wants to call me names and this, that, and the other, I just look at it and just turn around and, as the Bible says, turning the other cheek, so to speak, I just turn around and walk off and just pray for them. I don't do like the world would do and want to, what one person used to say, throw hands or get down, you know, and want to get in the fight and carrying on and doing all this, that, and other. For what? These people are in bondage by the devil, and they're doing what the devil is making them do, trying to get me to respond in the same way, but I won't do it. You know why? Because I have the mind of Christ, and all we have to do basically is look at how Christ handled every situation that people brought up against him when he was here on the earth. Anyway, back to the message, because the whole thing is, what good does that do? They, the ungodly, say, man, you need to get even. Now see, that's the man, that's the ungodly's way of thinking. That's the response of the world. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When sickness or disease comes, the spiritual resort to prayer, the laying on of hands, and anointing with oil. Problems in marriage or government are signs of the influence of Satan. Racism is of the devil. Instead of hating the racist, the spiritual pray for them. As a result of this, God has no reason to judge the spiritual. They are moving in His, God's, will. Now, the third verse poses a question. Who knows the mind of God? Who can show Him how to do things? Can you? Can I? Can Bill Clinton, well, like I say, this is one of those areas where back at that time Bill Clinton was relevant. Today I would say, can Joe Biden? How about the genius? Or maybe the bishop? Who? No one can. But notice the last part of the verse says, talking to the spiritual, that we have the mind of Christ, who has the mind of the Father. We do things the way Jesus would do them. We see things the way that He sees them. If you will look at it like this, you can understand what I am saying. When we were young, our parents used to tell us to do certain things and to not do other things. When we asked why, we were told that it was for our own safety. Well, we, being young, could not understand the danger and sometimes the strictness that they showed to us. We just couldn't see it. Now, however, being older and having kids of our own, we find ourselves telling them the exact same things. Why? Because we know from experience that what our parents were telling us was the correct thing. We now have a mind. We now have their mind, rather, talking about our parents' minds, and we understand it all now. Well, before a person gets saved, the things that Jesus tells us to do and not to do, in some instances, makes absolutely no sense to us. We can see no danger or benefit in following His directions. In fact, they look totally ridiculous to us. However, Jesus, just like our parents, has all the experience, and He wants us to see all things the way that He sees them, through the eyes of the Spirit. If the world could realize the things that are going on and are all by the design of God, they could begin to realize that only He has control, and if we would yield our way of thinking to incorporate God and His Word, what a far better place this world would be. But no, our pride is standing in the way. We are the know-it-alls. No one can tell us anything, especially those that claim to be following that wimpy Jesus. Wimpy, W-I-M-P-Y, Jesus. Look at the attacks on the religious right by those that call themselves the epitome of intelligence. Doing things the way the Bible says they should be done would make many suffer and be mean-spirited. It wouldn't be politically correct. It's gay bashing. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Nothing but excuses for ignorance by the ignorant. Ignorant because they just don't know. That's why while he was on the earth, or while he was on the cross rather, Jesus asked the Father, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You can go to Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. That is why when I encounter persecution or resentment because of my stance on issues and the behavior of individuals, I just remember Jesus saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I go on my way. That is having the mind of Christ. Looking at what Jesus did for our salvation, how he suffered all of the punishment, persecution, and the crucifixion when he could have easily stopped it, shows the real meaning of what he did for all of us. But many of us just can't see it. Why would he do it? Especially for me. You might say I'm a junkie. I'm a drunk. I'm a homosexual or a lesbian. I've had an abortion. I murdered somebody. I'm a liar and a cheat. I am the scum of society. Nobody loves me. I can't see how anyone would want to do anything for me, much less give his life for me. Well, you have to see yourself through his, Jesus, or God's eyes. That's what I have to do. I have to see you the way that he sees you, no matter how you act, no matter what the color of your skin is, no matter what religion you are in, no matter your gender. I often tell people, male and female, that God loves you and I do too. Telling this to a woman isn't that bad. But when you tell a man this same thing, that you love them, they give you that strange look like, "What's up with that? You funny or what?" The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world," talking about thinking and seeing things like the ungodly, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," talking about beginning to see things in a whole new light, the way that God sees them, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Look at that last part again. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That, my friends, is not an option. It is a commandment. In order to be in the perfect will of God, all of us have to do this. Of course, doing this will make you look stupid or holier than thou, but that's the price of being saved. People are always going to try to make you think that you are trying to act like God. Well, here's a secret. You are. Notice, I am not saying that you are trying to be God. To understand the plan of salvation, God wants you to see yourself through His eyes. He says in Isaiah chapter number 1, starting at verse number 18, He says, "Come now and let us reason together." In other words, "See things my way, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." He wants you to see your condition and its consequences the way that they are, and not the way that you think they are. He wants you to see what can happen if you turn to Him, and what happens if you say no. Many of you think you are all right with God when you actually are in rebellion against Him. You think just because you lie once in a while, or as you call it, a little white lies, or maybe you do some fornicating once in a while, or some other little sin, that it's no big deal. But if you commit one little sin, you may just as well have committed a big one, like murder. The punishment is the same. If you go to James chapter number 2, starting at verse number 10. I'm going to read two verses here. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not kill.' Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou shalt become a transgressor of the law." And what we know about transgressions of the law, the Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. So, as you can see, looking at things through your own eyes, you find nothing to repent about. But looking at yourself through His eyes, you can begin to see that you are not the good person that you think you are. Well, that's all for this message, and I hope you got something from this. And like I say, I tell people all the time, you know, as Christians, we can't look at things and react to things the way that the world does, because most of what the world does is responding to something that, quite frankly, is not conducive to promoting what God says He wants to promote. You know, when the Bible says that love your neighbors as yourself, well, see, we can go along with that real good. But when Jesus talks about how you're supposed to love your enemies, now all of a sudden we got a problem. That sounds stupid. Just like the thing about turning the other cheek. Stupid, sounds stupid and things. That's the way that the world has. The world passes laws to tell us that certain things, there's nothing wrong with certain things like homosexuality, abortion, and things like that, when in reality, that is because their own intelligence does not allow them to see the spiritual side of things. Those of us that are spiritually minded or see things the way that God sees them knows that every single solitary baby that is being aborted is a work that God has been doing in the woman to bring forth a living child that's made in his image, some of which might be individuals that, if allowed to grow, you know, be born and grow up and things, might be the key factors in solving some of the problems that we have in this world, like finding cures for certain diseases and things like that. I tell people, I say, we don't know how many Albert Einsteins, Martin Luther King Jr.'s, Rosa Parks's, Jonas Salk's, and any of these other famous people that, you know, found cures or made a huge contribution to the advancement of society, of human society. We don't know how many of those God had planned to help advance us further, but because they were aborted, we're still in the same mess that we were in 10, 15, 20, 40, 50 years ago. See, you don't look at the most intelligent people don't look at things that way, because as far as they're concerned, what's being aborted isn't even human. It's a fetus. But see, those that look at things through God's eyes see exactly what that is. And then when we stand up and protest against it, what's the first thing the world says? You fighting against it. This is a woman's health issue. No, it ain't. It's a woman's spirit's health issue, because she's going to be judged by God for that, along with those that help her get the abortion and the abortionists themselves. Or if these doctors only knew what they're going to be facing, what they're doing, and what they're facing when they die, I bet not a single doctor would be performing abortions if they knew what was lying in the future for them when they draw that last breath. Now, of course, if they repented, that's a different story. But you see, a lot of them don't know that, because they've been told that, you know, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. So why are you going to repent and say you sorry for something if it's okay to do it? That's like if I kiss my wife or something, that after I kiss her or something, I'm going to apologize for kissing her. Why? You see what I'm saying? Or, you know, have marital relations with her, and then I'm going to apologize for doing that. Why would I do that? If it's because I know it's okay. But see, I know it's okay in man's eyes and God's eyes. There's a passage of scripture saying that the marital bed is undefiled. In other words, the only type of sex that God approves of is between a husband and a wife. Everything else is fornication or adultery. But like I'm saying, all of this is part of having to be able to see things through God's eyes. So no, I'm not trying to be God. I'm just like, well, I'll make it plain and simple. It's just like this. Whenever I get ready to do something, I ask God about it. It's just like him walking with me. And when I'm getting ready to do something, I ask him, I say, is this okay to do, Lord? And he says, yes, it's okay for you to do that. Okay. Then if I see something else and I say, what about it? Can I do this? He says, no, you shouldn't do that. I said, and if I was to ask him, I said, well, why can't I do that? Then he would explain to me why I can't do it. Well, see, by me taking his advice, that means that I'm taking, asking him for direction, and he's telling me what to do, what not to do, and why not to do it, just like our parents were telling us when we were kids, not doing this or not to do that. I remember my mother, when I was being raised as a single child, and I'll close after this. When I was a single child, there were times when I would be out playing around with my friends, and my mother would tell me, I want you to come in here and come back in the house at 8 o'clock or something along like that, or come back in the house when it gets dark. And I would come back in sometime and I say, Mom, how come I can't stay out late? My other friends stay out. How come they can stay out and I can't? And you know what my mother used to tell me? She would say, because I'm not their mama. In other words, she was telling me if I was their mother, they would be in here at 8 o'clock or when it gets dark. Their parents can let them stay out there, but you be in the house. Well, see, that in some aspects, that's the same way God is with the Christian. And the sooner we can get into that mindset and start realizing that he knows what's best, the better off we'll be. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out, as usual, saying, may God bless you and your families real good. Until next time when we get together, good day.